it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. We are up in KC North at Rally House, Barry Woods Crossing location. A great spot to get geared up for this weekend's game out at Arrowhead. They have, honestly, like the most outrageous Chiefs selection you're going to find in town. It's kind of crazy. This is a huge location. I mean, everywhere you look, there's
tons
Chiefs
of stuff.
Gear.
There's a ton of Northwest Missouri State stuff. Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
They got everything.
School or team.
But, of course, maybe it's a new season. You need some new gear. You need a new jersey. Pretty soon you'll want that new Chiefs hoodie as well. They've got everything here at Rally House. You could also go to rallyhouse.com, but why not stop in at the Barry Woods Crossing location today? We're here till 2. We're registering you to win a $250 gift card as well. So it's a great time to hop on by and say hello. Let's say hello to our guy, Danon Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. Of course, he'll be on the broadcast as he is each and every week on the Chiefs Radio Network. Our conversations with Danon are brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue and by Flight. Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Danon, welcome back stateside. We obviously talked to you last week about the travel and everything like that. What's this week been like for you, I guess, just to maybe take in the national conversation, if you have at all, or just what everybody's kind of saying about the Chiefs after that performance?
What's going on, fellas? Good to be back here indeed. It's been an interesting week because I know – here's the thing. I don't envy you guys' job. Obviously, I have a show. It's only 1 hour a week. It starts in a couple of weeks on Thursday nights called Players Only. You guys have to be on air for 4 hours every day, television, 24-hour cycle. Like, I don't envy the jobs you guys have. But on the national circuit, when you listen to some of the rhetoric, you would think that week one is week 17 or week 18. Because it is doom or gloom when a team loses, and now we are no longer invincible. We are possibly the worst team in the AFC West. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and we're undisciplined, and the wheels are falling off, and all this stuff. And I'm like, it's week one. Like, it's the first week of the season. It's against an AFC West rival. Yes, a loss is a loss, but do we not think, like, conventionally, just conventionally thinking, do we not think that Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert, and that entire Chargers organization was nervous if they would have had to give the ball back to Patrick Mahomes that final drive? Like, do we not think that when he made the throw, the little drop, Seth Curry touch pass to Juju Smith-Schuster in the middle of the field, and then the touchdown throw to Travis Kelce, and then the big throw getting knocked out of bounds to Hollywood Brown, that, oh, there goes that man. That's the guy we don't want to give the ball to. Of course they were nervous. And, of course, every other team that will face us will be nervous if we are within one score in the fourth quarter. That's where it comes down to. Yes, we want to win the ball games, and, yes, there are no moral victories. But to think that the rhetoric is that we have lost all of our shine and no one is afraid of us, like, are we kidding people? Like, after week one, are we kidding that no one is afraid of Patrick Mahomes down by 3, down by 4, down by 6 with the ball in his hands, or up by 6 and having to seal the game? Of course they are. So I think it's a lot of nothing, but generally speaking, there has to be something we talked about. Rob Gronkowski, whole narrative, that was the most ridiculous thing ever. Teams are, I will say this as a former player, guys, you're not afraid of players. You're concerned about players in certain circumstances. Like, I didn't go out on the field and was like, oh, man, there's Steve Atwater. My knees are buckling. No. But if I knew it was 3rd and 16 and it was going to be a pass, I knew I had to be a little bit more aware of where Steve Atwater was. Like, that's just it. It's not about being fearful or not. So when Gronk says that, that is just an idiotic statement that it bothers me that former players make those kind of extreme statements. But we get a chance to prove everybody different, because if we come in at home at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium and we beat the Super Bowl champs on our field, I guarantee you the rhetoric will change for next week.
Dana, I guess this isn't a question I've asked much, because I think we all now recognize the things that went wrong. Some of the offensive line issues, obviously losing Xavier Worthy, having an impact there very early, and then the lack of coverage problems they had. What did you like the best out of what the Chiefs did? I'm just curious now where you thought their strength was, if there was one, in that first game against the Chargers.
You know what I like the best is that a team that's supposed to be our rival, on a scale of 1 to 10, probably played a 9 on offense, defense, and special teams in the Chargers. We probably played a 3 of our best, and we still only lost by 6 points. And we fought to the end. And had it not been for a couple of undisciplined plays, Chris Jones already admitted it, Travis Kelce recognized his fault in the pass route that injured Xavier Worthy. Had it not been for those two circumstances, we got the ball with just under 2 minutes left and ready to drive the field to win, to like we've done against the Chargers in the past. So I like the fact that when we were not playing our best football, we're still playing competitive enough football to put ourselves in a position to win. I don't like the fact that we didn't cause any turnovers. We didn't harass Herbert as much as I think we should be able to, especially with just the four-man rush. But I did see some decent play to good play on the offensive line. We knew there were going to be some issues. You got a left side of the offensive line as relatively inexperienced. So there were going to be some issues, some concerns there. But I thought the fact that we battled through all that was encouraging and something to build on.
We're talking to Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. Of course, you'll hear him this Sunday on 96.5 The Fan on the broadcast there with Mitch and Josh Klingler as well. You're a former wide receiver, so what did you make of what happened once Worthy was out? I mean, Hollywood Brown's out here getting 16 targets. I'm sure that's like a – you tell any wide receiver getting targeted 16 times, you would say, wow, that's a – I love that opportunity. What do you think the plan will be with Brown moving forward and the rest of the wide receivers while Worthy and Rice are out?
So I like the fact, as a wide receiver, you always think you're open. So getting 16 targets is like Christmas morning. And I'm sure Hollywood loves that fact that with Xavier Worthy out, that Patrick Mahomes automatically felt the confidence and comfort to be able to throw him the ball. I thought the hook route that he dropped was a crucial play in the game, because had he secured that, he was probably going to score on that touchdown. It was one-on-one, no safety around. By making the guy corner miss, he would have been able to run right down the sideline and probably get a touchdown. He was thinking about that ahead of time, which is the reason why he dropped the ball. But the fact that after that, Patrick continued to go to him. So I think as a wide receiver, you are always concerned, if I make a mistake, is the quarterback not going to come to me? We've seen the clips of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and some of the great quarterbacks say, if you run the wrong route and you mess up, I'm not looking your way again. That's such BS. And I hate to hear that from guys that are competing. We're all grown men, and we're all competing. We practice and work as hard as anybody, and yet you feel the need to kind of throw me under the bus and say I'm not throwing it to you. And that's the thing I've always loved about Patrick. We've had season after season where number one receivers have gone down, number two receivers have gone down. We've gone through a record number of drops in a season only to go on. And those guys that had those drops, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, he went to them in the Super Bowl that won us a Super Bowl. So I feel like that's a great attribute for him. I feel great for Hollywood Brown. And it's going to be interesting to see, because the one thing about Hollywood that we notice, he works well outside the numbers as well as inside the slot. And that's got to be key to be able to be a guy that's not just a crossing route or a pick route guy, that you can work outside the numbers one-on-one against the corners, and especially the corners for the Eagles.
Dana, doesn't matter what level. I don't care if it's middle school or high school. What is the most catches you made in a single game? You said 16 targets is a dream. What's the most catches you had in a single game?
Oh, man. Well, I played quarterback in high school, so I didn't play receiver at all until I stepped on the college campus. Gosh, that's a good one. I feel like I had a few games at Iowa that I had a few bulk catches, but nothing in double digits ever.
Okay.
Nothing ever in double digits.
You didn't have like 14 for, 190 or whatever in there.
With my speed, it would have been 14 for 40 yards. No, I'm going to kidding.
You mentioned, though, Dane, in the offensive line, I think in one of the prior answers, just kind of in passing, and you said there were some good things you saw. What did you make of Josh Simmons? Of course, all eyes were on him, even though I think most of the conversation after the game has been about Juwan Taylor once again with these false starts and holding calls.
Yeah, I would say this about Josh Simmons. I did not see him look overwhelmed, look like the moments were too big, or look intimidated by Khalil Mack or the outside rushes and Tui Peloto or anybody else. That was one thing I was looking for. Okay, is he going to be fazed by the greatness of Khalil Mack? Is he going to be overwhelmed by him? I still attest there are times, and if you really study the film, there are times where Patrick Mahomes, as great as he is, could help the offensive line a little bit more in where he steps up, where he slides to, just like we've seen a lot of quarterbacks throughout the history of the game buy themselves time in the pocket and actually make their offensive linemen look better, feel better, and get more confidence by their movements alone, the quarterback's movements, not the completion, not necessarily that he doesn't run, but when he runs, which way does he vacate the pocket to, if he needs to vacate the pocket? So I felt like, going back to, I got kind of got off on a tangent there about Patrick, but with Josh Simmons, what I felt like every time they broke the huddle, got to the line of scrimmage, ball was snapped, he did not look like a rookie. Were there some mistakes? Yes. Were there some times where he could have been better? There was a corner blitz that came off the left side that he didn't get to. Patrick had to vacate the pocket quicker. That was actually the touchdown pass to Travis Kelce. I'm going to break that down on KSHB for Big Play Danan this week. That worked out well, but that was one situation where he did not slide out to the blitzer and left them open to rush the quarterback. Those are growing pains that we're going to have to deal with a rookie left tackle.
How much does the, I think on paper at the very least, mismatch of Jalen Carter and Kingsley Suamataia worry you?
Big man got to step up. Like, I don't believe in mismatches per se. I mean, we've seen Chris Jones. Like, there have been times where our defensive line, think about the Bengals in the AFC Championship. Think about the Bengals in the divisional round game, they gave up 9 sacks to, I want to say, the Tennessee Titans. And then we played them in the AFC Championship, and we could not get to them. And that's when they beat us. So I don't really put a lot of stock into player versus player. I think it's all circumstance versus circumstance. Obviously, Jalen Carter is going to have some fire breathing out his nose because he had to, I guess we want to call it, suspended for a game. I still got a lot of beef with that whole thing. But he's going to come out with fire breathing, and we got to step up. And this is going to be a big matchup for Kingsley to show that he is more than deserving to be that left guard and to have the confidence of Patrick. Because what I don't want to see is I don't want to see the ball snapped, Patrick drop, plant his right foot, and then look for where Jalen Carter is. He needs to be continuing to scan the field because I believe that was the Achilles heel of the Super Bowl, is that there are times where you can see that Patrick was concerned about the rush, took his eye off of his progression, was thinking about moving out of the pocket before the pocket was even set. And that can't happen this weekend. We can't get in a situation where there's some concern with Patrick or his movements show you that there's some concern. But, like, if I'm Kingsley and I'm a player in that locker room, this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity to shine. And, you know, I had a few starts at wide receiver throughout my career, and I remember sitting on my stool in my locker thinking they pegged me as a 5-4 receiver, 5 receiver, only special teams guy. This is my chance. This is my chance. That's what he has to be thinking.
You ever have a teammate get spit on, or ever see a teammate spit on anybody when you're playing football?
I never saw it happen. I know it does happen and it has happened. I can tell you this. If it would have happened to me, the game would have been over for me.
It's the most disrespectful thing you could do to someone.
Bro, let me tell you. Like, I'm getting antsy here. My hands are shaking just a bit by talking about it. I can't even fathom the idea of somebody spitting on me in life. Never mind in football, where I'm actually able to be violent. Like,
right.
On the football field, it's legal to be violent. Like, they would have had to have security pull me off the field. And I don't care if it was Jalen Carter and he's 200 pounds more than me. He would have had to beat me down. He would have had to beat me unconscious on that field, because I would be swinging everybody's helmet, not just mine, everybody's helmet that I can get a hold of, and go get my baseball bat from the Milwaukee Brewers and meet him in the parking lot. There is no way in the world that should happen. And I feel like it's disgusting by the NFL that you make the excuse. And I would say this for all the fans and everybody on X, I would say this if they were not playing the Chiefs. There's no way you can justify the fact that he did not play a snap in the game to say that it's equivalent to a one-game suspension. That would be, if I was a punter and I don't punt in the first half and I spit on somebody, you tell me I'm suspended for the second half. That's equivalent to the whole game because I didn't play a snap. That's ridiculous. And if you want to set the tone, when you hear a bunch of former players say that it happens, and you want to set the tone about changing it, you make this the reference point and the perfect example, because it was on national TV, caught on camera, against the quarterback, and all the implications involving it. And they dropped the ball on that. But I can't say enough how disgusting that is.
Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, will be listening on Sunday afternoon out at Arrowhead. Thanks, man.
All right, bro.
There you go. Danen Hughes, our conversations with Danen, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and brought to you also by Flight by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer. He's on your side on the punishment there. We don't need to rehash the whole conversation again, but obviously we
just know that there's one vote for Danen Hughes on this side
there
of the
you
argument.
Go. Yeah, I believe him, though. I saw his tweet on the part where, like, there's a lot of – Dak restrained himself. There's a lot of players. If Jalen Carter would have spit on a lot of other players on that team –
it's a brawl.
For the Cowboys.
And if it causes a brawl, let me tell you right now, he does get the game.
I agree. I agree with that. Yeah, I agree. I think if it was a bigger scene – the fact that Dak just kind of was like – and pointed like, hey, did you
spit on
and there wasn't a shove and a lineman didn't come in and shove and started punting. Oh, it could have been what Danen was describing. Fortunately, it was not. All right, let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
Two options for you guys, and then I'm very excited. Here in about 10 minutes, we are going to be joined by Tyrann Mathieu, Super Bowl champion, former Chiefs safety. He is back in Kansas City this Sunday, banging the drum. Going to be good to hear from him. We'll ask him about the defense. But two options for you guys, trash of the day. Either a prisoner in Arizona, or mosquitoes, beer, blood, and sex.
I mean, if you're...
What?
Beer, blood, and sex has to be the winner, doesn't it, Drew? I don't even care about the mosquitoes part of it.
Okay, all right, so we're going with that one. There is a study, I don't know, again, I sometimes these studies, I'm like, where did someone initially have, like, the hypothesis about, like, you know what, we want to figure out this is what happens with this.
Okay. I don't know.
Anyway.
Science, man.
In the Netherlands, there was a study taking place trying to figure out mosquitoes' thirst for your blood. And, like, why are they more prone to maybe attack Cody than me or you or whatever it may be, right? Well, there's no single answer. Researchers in the Netherlands think they identified at least a couple influences that may increase your insect attractiveness. And it turns out that beer is one of those reasons.
Ooh.
So for 3 days, colleagues oversaw a pop-up laboratory inside shipping containers at this big music festival that takes place, I guess, every year outside of Amsterdam. They then asked recent concert goers to fill out a questionnaire about their diet, lifestyle, etc. 500 fans volunteered to not only answer the survey, but stick their arms into a custom-designed cage buzzing with mosquitoes.
Okay, yeah, kind of looks like just like a clear plastic box you stick your arm into.
Now, none of the participants were in any danger of covering their arms in getting bit or whatever. They had like some apparatus to that where they were not that tiny enough for the insects could smell, but they couldn't actually
stick. So they'd go to you, but they couldn't pierce the skin. 1,000 mosquito bites.
But basically what happened with is they were, you know, drinking beer and all this, and they found that you are more likely to get stung if you had been drinking beer. And then it even went like a step further than that, because you're wondering where does everything come into play here. Well, overall, if you had sex recently, you are more likely to get stung. The results showed that people who drank beer and had sex the night before were about 1.35 times more likely to attract mosquitoes
than sober, abstinent.
That's right.
Volunteers.
That's right. You know, so if the bees, if the mosquitoes are just attacking the heck out of you, you either were drinking or you had sex the night before. That's plain and simple.
Honestly,
it's over now. It's
if you get
closed.
In fairness, wouldn't that be a great excuse? You're sitting outside, like, I'm getting all these bug bites. Sorry, guys. You know how it is. So. Got to head back in, you know, too many bug bites. Like, I mean, it just seems
now,
like
now, the study did not say if
you think those people were lying about having sex the night before, though?
Some of them had to, of course.
I think they're like, hey, have you had sex in the last 48 hours? I'm like, yeah.
Now, they
like,
were, at a, they were at a music festival and all this and drinking and camped out and stuff. So, maybe. I will say.
Casual drug use, perhaps?
It did not say anything about getting stung by bees in your backyard, if that's related to anything.
No, they didn't say if the yellow jackets are more attracted to you.
Would you have done this survey? Now, they guarantee you weren't going to get stung. Would you have done, if you were at a concert, you know, would you have done that?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. What do I care?
That is
in the name of science.
Yeah, that is the trash of the day. All right, we'll switch things up a little bit. Normally we'd take a break, but I believe we have Tyrann Mathieu actually on the line right now. We're excited to be joined by the Super Bowl champion, former Chiefs safety, Tyrann Mathieu, who's going to be back in Kansas City this weekend, banging the drum at Arrowhead. Tyrann, I know as a player you saw that maybe during pregame time and time again. So what was that like for you? I guess, how does that work? You just get a phone call from someone with the Chiefs? How does that all play out?
Well, you know, being a Chiefs, I've really always had a pretty good relationship. You know what I mean? And, you know, really since I left too. And, you know, I think that's, obviously starts with Clark and, you know, Mark and, you know, definitely Coach Reed and Brett Veach. So, and even Spags. So, I've been in communication with these guys, you know, for the last couple of years. I guess it's just, you know, having some good relations and, you know, I guess those guys miss me a little bit. They want to see my face, you know?
Yeah, I think, well, I'll be honest, Tyrann, I think some fans missing you as well. We'll get into the performance from the team recently. I know you were part of the YouTube pregame show there as the Chiefs took on the Chargers in Brazil. But do you, now that you're retired, I think it's only been like a month, if I'm not mistaken. I know you were in camp, I think, briefly with the Saints. Even just thinking about the atmosphere Sunday, watching week one of the season, like, did you get the itch already a little bit?
Yeah, man. Definitely, man. You know, man, I love football. You know, I love everything about it. And you know, obviously, probably was a big shocker to a lot of people that know me, because most people that know me probably figured I'd play 18, 20 years. You know what I mean? I just felt like it was the right time for me. And to be honest, man, like, you know, I'm ready for my next challenge. You know, I'm ready to see like what's out there for me that I can, you know, really just challenge myself. You know, I felt like football, you know, I kind of maxed out, right? Like, I accomplished everything. I played everywhere I wanted to play. You know what I mean? And it could be kind of hard finding that motivation. So I'm just really looking forward to that going forward. Just finding some new motivation and looking forward to a new challenge.
Did you start looking back at, like, you know, like, we always ask Andy, like, hey, what did you think of this? He's like, I'll reflect on my career when I'm done with it. Did you spend a little bit of time remembering the time at Kansas City or thinking about your time in New Orleans and reflecting a little bit, I guess, on the career you had?
Yeah, man. You know, really every day, man. you know, and just being grateful, you know, like just being so grateful, man. You know, the way I came into the league and, you know, obviously, you know, coming up under Larry Fitzgerald and Patrick Peterson, I really felt like those two guys played, you know, an important role for me as a youngster. You know, they gave me something to look up to. They gave me something to believe in that was much bigger than myself. And, man, the coaches, too. Like, I think about my coaches and, you know, Bruce Arians and Andy Reid and, you know, Romeo Crennel and Steve Spagnuolo. I've literally been coached by some of the best coaches this game has to offer, you know. And, yeah, man, just looking back on that, the relationships, the guys I was able to play with, like, you know, I was on the field with Patrick Mahomes and J.J. Watt, right? Like, two of the greatest players of our time, right? And I just feel so blessed, man, and fortunate that I was able to have those experiences.
We're talking to Tyrann Mathieu here on 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned, you know, you're kind of ready for that next challenge. And I'm not just saying this because you're on the show with us right now. I tweeted it out when I was watching it. I thought you crushed it on the YouTube pregame show. Is that next challenge maybe for you? Are you wanting to get into broadcasting more?
Well, you know, I really wanted to kind of take the fall off and just kind of figure out, you know, what's next for me. I think I know. I think most people that know me, they know. Like, at some point, I'll be coaching, right? At some point.
Sure.
But I kind of want to give myself some time, you know, to do that because obviously, man, like, you know, leaving the game, playing 12 years in the NFL and then going right into coaching, it's probably an even more brutal schedule than it was when I was playing, right? And, you know, I remember some nights texting, you know, Dave Merritt and Spags, and, you know, it's like 12:30 at night, and he's still at work, you know? And I just, you know, so I don't think I'm quite ready for that yet, but I think I'll get there, you know, eventually.
What level do you want to coach? NFL? Or are you interested in, like, college or high school? Or, you know, is there a certain level you're interested in being in?
To be honest, I'm not opposed to any of them, really. I think high school, I could probably be more of a benefit to kids, right? Trying to push them to the next level. But I know if I take a college or NFL job, you know, just being able to relate to those kids and motivate them and, you know, being able to speak their language, I think that too would probably, you know, just be a good look, you know. But yeah, man, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I just want to be, you know, somewhere where, you know, culture matters, the people matter, community matters. And so as long as I can kind of get that, I can, you know, I can deal with whatever football brings.
Let's talk about the team on the field. We had played a clip earlier that Gronk was suggesting the idea that if the Chiefs lose to the Eagles, maybe they become more human. People know they can punch him in the mouth. I kind of likened it to, I felt like everyone took the Patriots serious, even during the 10-year run in which they weren't winning Super Bowls. What do you think the mindset is on the Chiefs right now from the other teams in the league, not TV or radio people, from the other teams in the league right now, knowing their last two games were losing to the Chargers, but I think that lasting image of them losing badly to the Eagles in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Chiefs have been on top for a while, right? And so, you know, it's going to be a lot of people that kind of magnify, right, the bad things that happened to them and, you know, they try to minimize the great things, right? And so, I think the Chiefs I think they're in a great position because of the people that they have leading the team. And so, you know, obviously Coach Reed and Spags and, you know, Mahomes, right? Like, I think those guys, you know, those guys don't want to lose three games in a row. I can tell you that right now. And so, you know, they're turning over every rock, right? Like, they're going to figure this thing out. And that's one thing I always respected with, you know, my time in Kansas City, right? Because if you can look back, you know, we never really started off that hot, right? Like, we always kind of built ourselves into that as the season went on. So, but yeah, I think the Chiefs are all right, man. Like, I'm not panicking. I know a lot of people. I've been hearing a lot of different things. I thought that was a bad take, you know, by Gronk, right?
Yeah.
You know, because the Chiefs have been physical. They have been a physical team. They have been a great defense, right? Like, they've made those plays in those critical moments. And so, yeah, man, like you know, you just get a bad stretch every now and then, right? But I never bet against Patrick or Coach Reed or any of those guys.
We're talking to Tyrann Mathieu here on Cody and Gold. You mentioned where this defense in the past, you know, has built itself up as the season goes, and it looks like that obviously is hopefully going to be the case for Spags. But what did you see as you're watching the game? Is there something that's easier to correct than otherwise? I mean, from a non-player perspective, it seemed like maybe communication and guys were just running into each other. That seems more correctable to me, the non-player. versus maybe some other issues with, if you think there's any personnel changes down the road. But what did you see specifically from the defense that you think is pretty correctable almost right away for this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, it's like do your job, right? And, you know, every game's a big game in Chiefs Kingdom, right? Like, and we all want to make those spectacular plays and, right? But you have to just find a way to do that within a defense, you know? And, you know, if you look back to the game, you know, against the Chargers, right? It wasn't that it was a bad defensive call. Maybe this guy got out of the gap, right? Like, maybe this guy didn't contain on a particular rep that he was supposed to. And so I think with Coach Spags and Coach Reed, like they'll figure that part out. They'll get guys back to just doing your job. And that's all defense is, right? Do your job, right, and make the players that come to you. But don't try to go outside of that and create like your own, because then you end up hurting the team. So, but I see those guys fixing that, man. Week one is always like, you know, people want to just kind of like sink the whole season, right? Because it's one game. And, you know, those guys got 16, 17 more games to really figure it out. But, yeah, man, like just do your job. Just do your job, stay in your gap, especially when the game's on the line.
From an outsider's perspective, Tyron, what's the, like, is there a fine line? What's the difference between how we should view when guys get after each other, right? I liked that Drew Tranquil was telling Chris Jones, you missed your assignment. But obviously there's times where that leads to infighting between it and it's not productive. How can you tell from the outside when telling someone that they're not doing their job right is productive, even if it looks like you're being combative about it, versus like it really is, these two people don't get along and it's a problem?
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, like you're going to go through that, right? You know, as captain, as leader, you know, you got to have tough conversations, right? Like, you got to be able to call people out. You got to be able to hold people accountable. But you got to do it in a way that is beneficial, right? Like, I don't want to call you out and then you tank on me, right? Like, I want to call you out and then you raise your level of intensity. You raise your enthusiasm. And so I think it's just those guys kind of just figuring that part out. You know, I think Drew's a great player, right? I think he's a good leader, right? Like, he clearly is one of those guys that, you know, leaves it all out on the field. So I think him having, you know, something to say is not odd, right? Because he's one of those guys that's, you know, really putting it on the line, you know, each and every play. But you just got to find that fair balance, man. And then you got to know who you're dealing with, right? Like, you know, some guys may be more performative than others when, you know, you're kind of approaching them or, you know, interacting with them.
What do you think this last week has been like? You mentioned the coaches are obviously going to turn over every single stone. But what, like, you've been in that locker room. You've been at those practices, yeah, in that facility. What do you think the mentality and just everything is, like, from the coaches to individual players after what happened last week?
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, nobody's smiling, right? Like everything's serious. You know, I think the intensity, you know, probably is to the roof, right? Like, everything matters, right? And that's the thing about playing sports, man. Like, we don't get to pick what details matter. They all matter, right? And so it's just about getting your guys to buy into that and believe in that. And it's always hard, too. Like, we can't like, understate that, right? Like, it's hard going to the Super Bowl, right? Like, and just, you know, like, having that letdown, right? And then guys coming back, like, probably going to still have some residue from that game, man. But man, you just got to keep chipping away, you know, each and every day, just keep chipping away at it.
Tyron, I know we mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you're banging the drum for the Chiefs come Sunday. If they need you at halftime, you still willing to put on a uniform, or what's up?
Yeah, man, I definitely can definitely go out there and maybe play like a little 2-minute drill or third. Definitely could play third down for sure.
There you go, third down.
Yeah,
just get a couple of snaps, and you don't want to be running
all. Just put me in the game when they're throwing the ball.
yeah, I'm sure you'd love that. You got the family coming in for this and everything?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's going to be a big deal, man. Obviously, you know, my kids are excited, right? Like, we're all excited to you know, be back in Arrowhead and, you know, be back in front of fans. Man, like I tell people, bro, like, I've been blessed, man. I played at LSU. I played at Tiger Stadium, right? Like, I played in the Superdome, right? Like, but, man, it's nothing quite like Arrowhead, you know? And so it's going to be fun to be back home and just see everybody, right? Like, and hopefully, man, like, I can kind of inspire those guys. Hopefully I can give those guys some enthusiasm, some extra juice, you know, before this game, because it is a big game. You know, I think we definitely need to win this game to really, you know, show people that, hey, You know, we had a few hiccups, but, you know, like we're okay. We're still the Chiefs.
Tyrann Mathieu, always great to talk to you, man. Congrats on the honor coming up on Sunday. And, yeah, I know you'll get everybody fired up at Arrowhead.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, fellas.
There you go. That's Tyrann Mathieu, Super Bowl champion, former Chiefs safety, joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. Up next, we'll get in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll react a little bit to what he had to say about maybe the mindset of a player and some of the things defensively as well as we continue broadcasting live from Rally House here at Barry Woods Crossing.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. I know we're going to react to some of the stuff Tyrann Mathieu said about this year's team. I couldn't help but notice that an exact sentence, unprompted, that Tyrann Mathieu said, Drew, I'm pointing this out to you specifically, I've played at LSU, and there's nothing like Arrowhead. He played at the Swamp. That's Florida. What's it?
It's Death Valley.
Death Valley. He played at one of the most premier college football atmospheres, and that man said there's nothing like Arrowhead.
He was saying that because he's
on. Closed,
hang on a second. He was saying that because he's on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City.
So you think? Wow, I don't think you're claiming he was pandering. I don't think that's fair at all.
I think there was some partial pandering there.
I don't think so. I think he knows that an NFL atmosphere like Arrowhead is good, if not better, than any college atmosphere. They don't need to do whiteouts.
LSU doesn't do that stuff. All they got is 95,000 rocking with the band.
Good
the band
atmosphere.
Plays.
They didn't have to do anything.
The band's
either.
Going. The Go Tigers.
I just want you to go to a Chiefs game. I want you to at least experience.
I gotta
it.
Find somebody.
So
has
it to, is it, an informed opinion, not just an opinion. You know, like
that's it.
You
that's
know,
it.
Like an informed opinion. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's okay for you to have one.
I need to get. Tickets.
I just want it to have some knowledge behind it.
I need to get tickets.
We can get you.
Or
there.
If the company. Yeah. Well, whatever. I need to get my hand on tickets.
Okay.
And then I will go.
At some point this year,
I prefer it be an afternoon game. I don't want it to be a late night game. I'm not trying to get back at 1 in the morning.
Now we're getting picky. It has to be 72 and sunny. It has to be at noon. It has to be.
No, it doesn't have to be.
If you get tickets to a game,
75. But
you don't have any kids. You just go to a game. If you end up getting tickets, if somebody offers you tickets even Sunday at 9 a.m. Go to the game. He wants to watch his Bengals lose to the Jags on Sunday. Okay. All right. That's what I heard him say.
Are they both at 325 tomorrow?
You guys should bet them then for your thing at minus 3.5 then if you think
I'm thinking about it.
You can go ahead and take the Bengals.
We need to go 0-5, and I'm thinking about taking the Bengals to cover the 3.5, as in the Jags will cover the 3.5.
good luck.
I don't know, man. Gotta find out that run defense is for real based on the way Travis Etienne started.
That'll have been 2 weeks in a row you guys have picked the Bengals.
It would be if we end
and you
up
guys
submitting
were wrong
that as
one
of our
week
one
of
our five picks.
Might be wrong
we'll
be doing that too if you do that.
Yeah, later on.
Trying to be wrong
well.
In week two.
I appreciate Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, I appreciate Tyrann Mathieu calling into the show. It's always good to talk to him and his passion for Kansas City and obviously the team. He is going to be banging the drum on Sunday. It was interesting. We asked him about what went wrong, and then also I think you asked him about just the on field disagreements, if you will, argument holding players accountable with Chris Jones and Drew Tranquil, and we've had. Three players we've talked to this week, or former players, two former players we've talked to this week, and everybody kind of says the same thing. You know, there's you're holding each other accountable,
and this is normal.
This is
and
normal
this is
stuff.
Expected.
Yeah, I think that stuff from Gronk was so wrong on acting like that's a sign that things are falling apart. I think Chris Jones owned it. Tyrann Mathieu pretty much he didn't say Chris Jones' name, but multiple times he said, "Hey, you got to do your job," and. Be disciplined and gap sound and all that. Like that. It wasn't just Chris Jones, but that was that he brought up the third down play, you know, breaking contain like that. That was a play that you just have to. You can't worry about making a play, going getting a sack or something like that. You have to go out and do your job, and it'll help the entire defense. It sounds so simple. I really think that's why you asked me, like, why do I think, you know, things could be better on Sunday? There's a lot of reasons, but also I think some of it is fairly easy to clean up. Not all of it. Some of it is in the guys
communication,
not communicating,
not physical ability.
Yeah, some of that. Like, for starters, can we at least everybody do their job, be in the right spots?
I did like, though, that Tyrann Mathieu pointed out the last 2 years lulled us into this weird confidence that the defense is going to be good 17 games a year, which was not their reputation years and years and years before that. Tyrann Mathieu said that unprompted. He said, you know, we used to be a bit of a slow starter. Took us some time. Took us a little while to get going. We weren't the same defense at the end of the season as we were at the beginning of the season. Week 8 or 9 used to be pretty common, and my plan was that the offense could carry him if the defense needed a little bit more time to get rolling and started in the early part. And unfortunately now, Gold, they're going to need to play some grind-out games, and the defense can't have a lot of, like, oh, we have some growing pains. I mean, that's fine if you have some, because then maybe the full offense and the full defense can make them the best team in football by the end of the year. But, like, in the win category, the defense is going to have to just be better these next few weeks.
That's the difference from 3 years ago, though, when yes, the defense would take to week 8 or 9 to get going. Is at that point, the offense was still playing at a very, very high level. And we know the offense has limitations already because of Rice and Worthy not being available, not to mention just the unknown still that exists with a few spots on the offensive line. So I think, you know, that's the trickier part about waiting for the defense to come along. It has to come along a little quicker. And the offense, to me, is going, more than anything, we're going to be back in this conversation. They didn't turn over the ball in week one, thank goodness. Otherwise, they would have had no chance.
They might have lost by a lot, yeah.
That the margin for, we're back to this whole, hey, margin of your drives that you have, not only can you not have a big holding penalty on Jawan Taylor, but you cannot have that big turnover or just the bad luck. You know, it wasn't long ago we were talking about, oh, a pass off the hands of a receiver that batted up in the air and led to an interception.
Kind of like the Ravens had bad luck in their game, right, where that ball gets knocked around and still ends up in Keon Coleman's hands.
Yeah, the margin of error is very, very slim. But I have no doubt the atmosphere and emotion stuff won't be a problem. And, yeah, I'm sure one thing I liked, and I'll be curious after the game to ask somebody in the locker room, especially if they win and the defense improves at all, you know, Tyrann is going to bang the drum and that'll get the
fans. He says he'd like to be a motivation.
That'll get the fans fired up. But did you hear it the same way? It kind of sounded like he's expecting this, I don't know, speak to the team, speak to some players maybe before the game or
something.
Yeah,
sounds like he's planning on, like, being like the rah-rah, you got it guy.
So we'll
he played with some of those guys. Not many of them anymore, but with some of those guys.
But he definitely still knows quite a few people on staff.
And
you
the
know.
People on the, in the league know him.
Merritt and Spags. He was very close with Steve Spagnuolo. They came in together at the same time in 2019, I think it was. So, yeah, we'll see how Sunday plays out. But appreciate Tyrann giving us some time on the show. Someone says 913-586-7965. I'm trying not to get blocked by Drew. Drew would get food poisoning, not be able to go to the game.
No, did you see the did you see what that person said? Who they're not trying to get blocked? What they called me before?
Well, yeah, I wasn't gonna all read right. that. All you right. want me to read that? I mean, they called you a little, you know what? But I'm not gonna.
Whoa,
that's all y'all got.
I'm not gonna do
you
that.
You guys
to
are straight
you.
Haters, man. You guys are calling me haters I think Arrowhead is the best environment in the NFL, and then you want to call me something after that? You guys got to relax.
I just want you to see it for real.
We didn't call you that.
I'm not talking about. I'm talking to the listeners in this.
He's talking to the listeners.
I'm talking to the listeners directly.
He's talking to the text line.
I'm talking to them directly in this.
Yeah.
I constantly say great things about the Chiefs on a regular basis, but then when one thing comes up, it's we got it. You guys are trying to come in my rack.
People are very passionate about their stadium. People are very.
And it's a great stadium. Yes.
Their environment, and that's they're like there's a every I don't so. We're going to go to break here. Every market you work in, like Cody, you've grown up here and you've only done radio.
Weirdly enough, I've only stayed here.
I obviously grew up here, but I've done radio in some other markets. When you go, there are usually like three or four things that you know automatically will flip people on you in a hurry. Like when I was in Boise, Kellen Moore, God, okay? In Boise, you don't like Kellen Moore, you better be careful.
Watch your mouth. Yeah. You're talking about Kellen Moore.
And so every market has that.
Sure.
In Kansas City, saying anything about their stadium needing to not or the environment needing to change something that's not good already, that's going to get people on the wrong side.
I never start trashing Kansas City barbecue.
Nobody is listening to what I've said when I've said this take. There's nothing they need to change. You can add something.
But That is changing. Adding is changing sometimes.
No, no, no.
He's saying it's great as it is, but there's no.
You can also add a fun thing to something that's already great, and it becomes a more memorable experience. But
yeah, we're just saying, I think you just have to go at least once before. To me, you can really have that stance.
And I promise I'll have the same
if
stance.
If you go there and I'll be curious. I'll believe the opinion even more.
Okay.
If you actually go out there. Someone asking about the set of sheets.
Oh, yeah, how was that?
Did
how
I
were
get
they?
We're late for a break. Way late, but.
Give us a sheet update. Coming back, that's quite
a
the tease.
Sheet update. Yeah. Sure. Plus, we'll get to what's trending. Next, you're on Cody Engel.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.